Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Joss Ogonie, Will Bluewater, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Beginning of Part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
The enemy is the kingship line that was started back in the day of Cain.
Well, and just a little more on this. You know, the Hebrew people, their mistake, where their trouble began, was when they asked the Creator who led them all for a human being king.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the
he came over.
But there you go again. It was the God slash human king. This was a kingship line.
That's
you know.
Right. That's right.
And they have convinced
what I'm saying, honey, is individually we can have the God king. We
yes.
don't have to obey. We have to be up to a point, but our king can be the Creator himself.
Exactly.
Or the Hebrews traded.
But the thing is, Red Hill, they have convinced us that we find that God in a Christian church. We find that God in a Catholic church. We find that God in a Methodist church. We find that God in Mormonism. We find him in New Age, you know. We find him every place but where he actually is.
That's right. And I tell you true, I tell all your listeners true, that the Bible, for instance, was never meant to be a religion.
No.
It was a series of letters from that to you, individually you, to pay attention to have a good life.
Yeah.
Things to do and not to do. And examples showing that if you follow me, here's what happens. And if you disobey, I'm going to warn you and warn you and warn you. And finally, if you aren't going to listen, I'm going to really tattle your rear.
Yeah.
And people say he's a vengeful God. Mm-hmm. Are they crazy? This is a wonderful, loving God that warns and warns and warns. And they won't listen. So he keeps his word. If you don't do it, you're going to get
it. But it is man that has convinced all of us that the Creator went directly to them, the prophets, to give the word, which they wrote down and translated to us.
The people have given up their sovereignty to these middlemen. It's happened in every religion. We don't need priests. We don't need kings. We are
the temple.
That's exactly right. There's no need for a temple. We can have Creator tell us exactly what we need to be doing.
Right.
He does with me, and I disobey occasionally, you know. But like we were talking a while ago about tunnels, and I started to tell you about something, and I was told, and I said, oh, I'm told not to tell, so I'm not going to. That's the kind of relationship everybody can have. You can listen instantly to what Dad's telling you and warning you about.
Yeah.
If you obey, you're going to be all right. If you don't, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And I didn't need a preacher to come and knock on my door and tell me what to do. Don't do that.
But see, they have everyone against each other.
That's right.
The elite sector, the kingship line, the king line, the royal bloods, the blue bloods. They create all these different types of religions, but as all these religions are created, the founders of these religions, these leaders, if you group them all together, they're the same person. They're the same group.
Well, and they are very subtle, led by a very subtle and very stealthy being.
Yes.
That is a living being, Lucifer.
Yes.
They are not aware that the ones that I have personal contact, understand this, please, with aliens, personal, physical contact. And the ones that I have in contact with of the Unholy Four, I talk about in a book that I sell called The Agendas. I'm not here to sell the book, I'm just telling you I talk about it. And anyway, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Lucifer. They believe they are God. And if there is a Lucifer, they're God. They can do whatever they dang well please. This is Lucifer's trick to them.
Yeah.
His trick to them. And they, through Lucifer's trickery, are working in the Lucifer's hands. And, yeah. So you end up with your kingship and these half-arse lizards.
And what it is, basically, is a control factor. All it is to control, is to herd the sheep and make sure that they stay in line. And
the one greatest way of controlling, now despite how we're talking here on this show, is fear. That is the greatest thing.
And, yes, but if you give knowledge to the people, they will not fear.
That's right.
Because they fear the unknown. Well, that's what we're doing, Red Elk, is we're going to make it our job to get this information out to the people. You know?
Well, I can attest to what you're saying, Mary, because I personally know a group of people that are an Indian tribe. They're small, They're not recognized by the federal government, but they are a traditional group of people. They were offered several million dollars to buy several thousand acres of land, and they were even given dreams. Their wolf clan mother, and Cherokee Way wolf clan does everything first. She dreamed that she was plowing ground, and that blood came up out of the ground. There was no violence involved, and she had forgotten, you know, her lessons about how to interpret dreams, and didn't understand that you know,
Now, we talked about the prophecies, okay, but I know that people are going to say, okay, well, we got prophecies here, but give us some meat. Tell us, if all this stuff is going to happen, where are we going? Where are the safety zones?
It's like I was saying about this one group that I know of that was offered, millions of dollars, thousands of acres of land. You know, you can't let fear get in the way. Number one, Grandfather Red Eye will tell folks you have to be absolutely fearless. You have nothing to fear whatsoever. You have a right to have Creator speak directly to you in your sleep, especially listen. Before you go to sleep, ask just speak to him like you would your own close friend and say, Dad.
Well, I actually do that. Before I go to bed, I say, please give me wisdom. And then I go to sleep, and I just wait to find out in the next day something new will come my way. Or I'll wake up with, this is what I need to be checking out. But it's true. And then, of course, we actually, when we do go to sleep, our spirit does leave our body, and we're able to travel through the different dimensions. And find out for ourselves actually what's going on. We can go to the great libraries or to speak to, some of the our forefathers I don't know exactly what happens, when we do travel, but I do know for sure that we do, and when we come back with that knowledge.
Red Ox said he accidentally got cut off, so I'll give him a call.
Oh, okay.
Or it accidentally cut us off, called your dad.
Oh, alrighty, I can do that. And while I'm doing that, tell the listeners some of the safety places, please.
Well, safe places. Like I said, if you will start now and get your relationship going with Creator, when the time comes now, see, I was promised years ago that when during a time of trouble,
I got four phones.
Time of trouble in what?
Well, I was just saying that I was told that, someday during a time of trouble, that we would be shown a place that we would go that would be underground. And, there's no reason why, history is replete with people being told and warned. Now, I would recommend, number one, you need to get out of cities. If you're living in a city, it's a good place to be gathered together, like the wheat and the tares, to be bundled and burned. You need to just suck it up, get out of cities, reduce your lifestyle, do whatever you need to do, but you need to get in a rural area someplace with water. I recommend above 700 feet sea level. I recommend several hundred miles from any large body of water, particularly an ocean. I recommend the center of the country because George Washington said that when the invasions happen, he said half the United States Army will be destroyed in the first hour. The other half will combine with populace. They will be driven back to the center of the country, and they will fight a war on three fronts. And just as we were ready to give up to oblivion, he saw that there was divine intervention. Just as Red Elk's describing.
Uh-huh.
So the key is to get the direct relationship with the Creator and then not worry about it.
Okay, now I have heard that Illinois, there's a section in Illinois that's supposed to be a safety zone. I've also heard that there's some place in Michigan that's a safety zone. Down in the Yucatan someplace, I have no idea where is a safety zone.
Well, the Big Bend area of Texas, the Ozarks, It kind of depends on, well, what do you
wear? Red Elk, we're speaking about safety zones. When this all this...
Boy, I'm going to have to disagree with, like, Michigan and Illinois. The Great Lakes are going to just wipe out Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Lots of Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know where they're getting their information, but those are two places I'd get the heck out of.
Really?
It depends on what...
No, see, I have heard through Mormons that the Wisconsin-Illinois border was a safety zone.
Well, that's back then. I mean, you know, the information that you receive...
Well, they're talking about in the future.
Well, the information that gets received through Revelation is time valued. Now, most of the people that have the dreams about or revelations about the earth changes say that the Great Lakes will eventually, there'll be probably 100, the Mississippi River will be like 100 miles wide. And so, you know, you'd probably want to, you know, avoid anywhere between, I guess, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and also Illinois.
And the Columbia River.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so.
You want to say, there's a lot of maps online about safe areas and
yes, but there's a lot of maps online that are not true.
Well, the introduction to, which is free, the introduction to My Prophecy Keepers, the trilogy, which is a free download, has got every map that you can imagine about the people have had described to them. You can compare them all, and then decide, you know, which, you know, where you want to go next.
Well, so now would the Four Corners area be a place? Red Elk.
Well,
to be honest with you,
yeah.
I have witnessed in spirit the Draconian race and the other three of the unholies that worked with them are migrating down to that area. I have gotten a lot of reports, a lot of emails asking, boy, I'm really feel led to go down to this Four Corner State or that Four Corner State. And I'm wondering if they aren't controlled to go down. Man, I would clear out of those Four Corner States faster as fast as I could.
I don't really trust the Four Corners areas because, you know, I'm from the Arizona area. And I know that Arizona and New Mexico, you know, at one point in time was so heavy with volcanoes.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm assuming that we may end up again having a volcanic action down there.
You have to worry about water. That's one of the reasons why I'm in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
The Hopi Indians, and I believe the Navajo, maybe the Apache as well, have a lake called Blue Lake. It is very sacred to them. And so sacred that the leaders, the high elders and stuff, has put it out of, you know, you're not allowed to go there, except at special times and in special groups and stuff. And I have highly recommended that these people break their laws. If they're going to go and honor the spirits of the Blue Lake, that they do so. Break the dang laws set by their leaders. Because soon it will be totally controlled by the U.S. government, patrolled, and you'll never get close to it.
Yeah. Well, if you've noticed, Red Elk, all these places, you know, like entrances to the tunnel systems where a person could go, you know, in case like there was a, let's say that there was like... Pardon?
Now it's against the law to go into a tunnel.
Yeah, because like if there was like, let's say, God forbid, if there was some sort of a nuclear bomb explosion or some even more elite type of bomb, like a thermonuclear bomb or something like that that goes off, or there was chemicals released in the air, a person would have to go underground for safety. But if you've ever noticed, all these major tunnel systems, these major, I mean, huge caverns that could actually be places of safety, every one of them has, like, some sort of a government facility sitting on top of them now, or they're controlled by the park rangers.
See, that's not everyone. This is some of the sacred knowledge that certain of the First Nation people know.
Ah, but now you're starting to understand why I wanted to put this show together, because We, the people, not the elite, but the people of the human race, need the knowledge of the Native American as where these places may be so that we also have a chance to survive.
Well, this is the problem that we're having with the Natives. They are hoarding this information, and frankly, most of the people know where these places are at, but they, the people that knew how to open the opening, are dead. Most of the people have long ago died. So the First Nation people are holding the knowledge of the place, but they don't know how to get into a rock wall, how to walk through it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do the ceremony to make a kind of a tornado out of the land that opens up into to actual stairways that lead down 12, 15, 17 miles.
Yeah.
To an inner city that the whites haven't found yet.
OCO. Be sure and...
Prophecy Keeper. Prophecy Keeper.
OCO.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
OCO is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonige, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the Seven Clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, MD, oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet, and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications, not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, people like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker, Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Bluewater sent you. Ski. Wado.
And we do know that they exist because remember the story of Geronimo, how he was able to go into the Superstition Mountains and actually walk in through into the rock cliffs. And then the next thing you know, they would find him in New Mexico. And the soldiers, they would go where he was supposed to have disappeared in the rocks, and they could never find out. They could never figure out how he got in there.
Well, there are certain ceremonies, and then there are just certain, how do I put it? you know how, without a ceremony. You just keep walking. And then you go. Now, the Cree Nation of Canada, they asked me to come up to this giant Cree Nation meeting. I guess it's from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's not a band, it's all the band. And afterwards, they want me to go along and zigzag from the Arctic Circle, East Coast to the West Coast, Arctic Circle to the American border, back and forth, opening up these sites because they know I have that knowledge. I wouldn't know one site from another. They're going to take me to the site. I don't know how to open them, but I know how to get to the one that does.
Uh-huh.
And I have done this before. There are what we call rotten mountains, filled with tunnels and caves, escape places for the Crees. And for all the, our Indians down here, there's rotten mountains. And just filled. But they have to know how to get into them. They don't know how. Their people are dead. They've learned how. They've lost the knowledge and they claim they have the knowledge. There are very darn few that truly have the knowledge. And the ones that, as far as I'm aware of, the ones that do, they're slapping and hitting and kicking and screaming now.
Yeah.
And so they're going to die there, and they're going to die with their children in their arms just because of their stupidity. But the Cree Nation has started sending me letters. Here's this place. Here's that place. Come here. Come there. I'm going to be gone, from what I understand, just over 2 months traversing all of Canada doing this. And I will not get all of them because they're going to experiment to test me to see what I do. And it will be the second, maybe even the third time around before all of this is completed. And the Cree Nation are so... Well, they don't rub shoulders with the whites because they're so far out there. The reservations are so enormous. Well, they see whites every day, probably, but not like our reservation. And so they retain a lot of their knowledge compared to our own people here in the States. And they know that now is the time. They know this. At this big Cree meeting I was at in the summer, they know this. And people started coming up to me. Do you know my sister? There are three mountains up in the Yukon area, up towards that area. Three mountains that have these, what is it when artifacts turn to stones, apes, and dinosaurs? What do they call that? You know, they turn...
Oh, geodes?
No. You know...
Oh, petrified.
Yeah. They have these three mountains with petrified logs.
Uh-huh.
And eggs in them. They are the eggs. I held one of the eggs. They are the eggs of the actual Thunderbird. And the Thunderbird...
Really?
And I've been asked to go back and call the Thunderbirds back to their original nesting ground. They are going to be flying from South America throughout the USA once a year to go up there and breed again. Up there on these mountains, there's one, possibly two, but there's one cave. It's called Bird Cave. And there is a thing to do with that bird cave that I will take people into. And we will learn all kinds of special, godly, good knowledge. And there is a staff that the Crees have in their protection. That was before the world flipped the last time. It's a car staff. It came to shore. And they have been protecting it. They didn't, all they knew was they were scared to death of it. They got a hold of me and asked me about it. And because of my connection with the Creator, instantly I knew what the whole staff was about. And told them. I told them what it looked like. And they were in Toronto, I think. And I'm sitting here. I had it down pegged to the greatest, from the length of it to the carvings of it. How the carvings were made. How the staff was cut. What the staff represents and what it does. It's a magic staff. It's it's a woman's staff.
Uh-huh.
So all the women are the wolf. And they, I think, that this August or September, they're going to do the great ceremony.
So these staffs may be important to opening up these caves or these entrances, huh?
Yes.
They're almost like we're talking about the same type of staff, I would imagine, that Moses used to strike the stone, to strike the mountain, to release the water.
Well, the Mayan elders brought some of their staffs up to one of the Navajo reservations a few years ago. Elder Leon Secatero was the contact there, and this information is at spiritualelders.org, and the tribe there, they're about 25 miles west of Albuquerque, and they're at the exit for Tahajigi, and it's just before the Las Lunas exit, but they were known anciently by the Spanish skull people, and they have a crystal skull. And I imagine Joshua Shapiro will be talking about this next week, because Elder Leon was a friend of my teacher, John Red Hat. But these staffs were copied. They were brought up here by the Mayan elders and left, and copies were made. And then the elders from South America came up and got the originals. But these staffs are extremely important.
And do you think, Red Elk, that these staffs will open up these entrances that you're talking about up there? Huh?
Not the case.
No.
What happened? And what has already happened? They point the staff at the ocean, you know, shore where the water's coming in. And right then and there, a whirlpool opens up. And they can see women's faces in the whirlpool. This staff, this time, the ceremony it was meant for, will do the same thing. And there will be some 13 women. One will be white. The rest will be Native Americans, true Native Americans, not these people like my other white ancestors. They will literally walk into the whirlpool, and the whirlpool will close around them, and they will disappear from my sight. And we will have to keep a bonfire going and praying and singing until it's time for it to open. And they will come out with unbelievable knowledge.
Now you're actually talking about a portal, aren't you?
I am. But hear me. The knowledge will be for the women of the world. No colors, no creeds, no language, for every female. And when I was presenting the knowledge of the staff at this big lodge, my guys, let me clue you in on this. It was like going back 2-3 years ago to a real powwow, you know, of the high high. The only difference was is they were wearing white man's clothes. And that was the only difference. But they had women's society members in this huge thing, men's society members.
Well, okay, doesn't that almost take you back to the chair, what was it, Star Wars, what was her name? I can't think of her name. But wasn't the Star Wars kind of based off a Cherokee prophecy about a white woman that would lead the people, and then she'd be representing the Cherokee nations?
I have no idea.
No.
All I
think her name was Leah on Star Wars.
There will be, I think, if I remember correctly, 13 women involved that will go forward to see if they're the ones to go down. And some will be rejected and be really ticked off because they think they're important people.
Uh-huh.
And some will stay at the circle to pray for their sisters that go down. And then the 7, I believe, are going down.
Well, see, even with the Native Americans, you know, see, there again, you still have an elite factor that is controlling the knowledge. Just like the whites or anybody else. So.
I mean, they are trying to control it. But
yeah.
Listen, the time is now, right? N-O-W. That this control is being tossed right out the window.
Yeah.
The only way it can be controlled is if you kill the people.
Yeah.
Because it will be so strong upon the people to do what they're being told, led, forced to do, good God's sake, that they will just ignore all these baddies that are trying to stop the church or be part of it for self. That staff will not, literally, will not allow an untrue heart to be involved. Each woman of these 13 will have to walk towards that staff backwards. And the staff will see its heart, see the heart of each woman, one by one. And if the woman is of wrong heart, it's as if you are walking backwards to a man laying on the floor with his legs up against his chest. And if you're wrong heart, you're going to get booted in the butt by two strong feet, and you're going to be kicked out of the circle. This is actually going to happen. I've seen it. Now, in the staff, when I presented it to the people, I told them that there is one woman here, and I pointed to the woman with the staff. I won't bother looking here. And I said, this is the woman. She is going to, this is the key. She is going to turn the key. She has the prayer to open it up, to start it. This older lady, my clan's mother, looked at me very perplexed. And I looked at her and I laughed and I said, you know the prayer. And you could see in my eyes, she didn't. She thought. And I had to tell her, you hold the staff, you begin praying, the prayer will come because you were born with it. And Lord, did that thing roll out. When she started to pray, she was hesitant, but all of a sudden the staff just kind of gripped her and she just rolled out and roared out the prayer.
I think I know why.
Well, because God is not going to let the bad guys be.
Well, women, the prayers of mothers are very, very, very special, and they have number one priority with Creator.
Yes,
but it's got to be a mother's prayer on behalf of her people.
Yeah,
like a bear with a cup. I think you understand.
Exactly. I know, I live with a bear clan mother, so.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Now, there are going to be two staff, just like what happened with Moses and the Pharaoh. There was the counterfeit staff and the real staff.
Right.
The staff of Moses. Everything, we have to realize, everything is mirrored in this world. So, wherever there's want, there's going to be a counterfeit.
The law of duality.
Yeah.
It's called balance. But also, good always overcomes evil in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, we have to learn to choose.
Oh, yes.
Well, first of all, you have to realize that there is a choice, that what we've been taught is not the truth.
Well,
and then start doing something about it.
We talk about the leaders of the churches and religions. I'm talking worldwide religions.
Oh, yeah.
And we say they're the ones that let us down this primrose lane of, well, you know, do as we say. And this is true to a point. If they would pay attention to what scriptures say, it says, test the spirit of all things. That is even testing the spirit of what you're being taught from the pulpit or whatnot.
Yeah.
The mosque. And we can throw a lot of blame on those teachers. But ultimately, the blame is upon us.
That's right. But, you know, there's a way out. You know, I keep talking about all things common. And back in 1884... there was an article printed in the Salt Lake Contributor magazine. It was a vision. And it was, if you read it today, and it's in my one of my prophecy encyclopedias. It's the 1884 prophecy of chemical attack on the U.S., mass death and divine intervention if living all things common. And that's the title of it. If you go and read this,
a big word, yeah.
Well, if you read this article, it starts out with a group of people sitting at Thanksgiving time eating a meal, and the next thing they know, they see these small, they see these the sky kind of turns a funny color, And they said that while the feast was in progress, the sky turned a peculiar, sickly, brassy color. And then throughout the atmosphere, small white specks started falling. And it's kind of like
fallout.
Kind of like snowflakes in winter. Well, fallout doesn't kill this fast. It says that these people started dropping dead on the spot. Now, the only thing that does that is chemical attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vision showed that this was going on all over the place. And you remember, this is 1881 or 2. And then there were several different scenes that this person was shown. But they're showing people were dead, dying and dead everywhere. Not a soul was shown alive. They had either stricken or they had fled this plague. But the last scene was a beautiful park-like grassy prairie surrounded by elm and cottonwood trees. And in the center of the enclosure was a large cone-shaped tent of a bright purple color. What does that sound like? TP. And it was about 30 feet in height, 20 feet in diameter. Well, that's a typical size for an Indian powwow council teepee. Midway in the height of this tent, there was a floor dividing it into two stories. Now, that's unusual. But near the tent was another a round wall tent, about 30 feet in diameter, about nearly as high as the first, but it was clean and white. So the first tent was purple-colored, and the second tent was white. So it's very obvious to me that these were Indian people coming together with white people. And it said that around the central tents were hundreds of small rectangular wall tents in a row, reaching as far as I could see. And the surrounding trees, each tent was clean and white, and about the size needed for a family. And it says, not a human being, animal, bird, or vehicle was in sight, not a breath of air was stirring. And everybody was just fine, and they were shown that these people were who had been promised divine intervention, that they were living together, and they were receiving the daily revelations of God, and they were preserved from the plague.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Well, you call it all things common. We are the Inner Hayoka, one of the societies and the main society that I belong to. We call that purity.
Exactly.
That's
a pure teaching of Creator.
Yes, it's not only that, but it's your relationship with Dad so pure that he's become Dad your father, Creator your father, Creator your friend.
Well, I don't know, folks. Tell you the truth, I still think, I know what you guys are saying, and it sounds really great, but personally, I think that people should be looking for safety places such as underground tunnel system, some place that they can go to protect themselves until the earth clears up, you know.
So you're asking them to run around looking in fear.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not asking them to look in fear. I'm saying that they should prepare now. Find these places and have them where they're accessible in case that there is something that happens.
They have a point.
They're already prepared for it.
This is true, and to be honest with you, I'm telling the people on the forum the same thing. I'm telling them, learn to eat bugs, for God's sake, now.
Exactly. That's another thing. Learn what the herbs are. Like the willow bark makes aspirin. Know what each one is. Learn how to live off the land again.
Hey, if everybody had a big,
There is a problem with that. What I have seen, there is much, so much that is dead. The medicine people, there are some that have contacted me, male and female, saying, we know what the future holds. We know that the plants that we use for healing just won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
They're so few and far apart that we look for days to get one piece and we need 30 pieces.
Well, then maybe what we should be doing now is preparing, or getting, drying up our herbs, preparing now.
A little bit more. You can go beyond that. See, honey, you're looking at self right now.
Uh-huh.
I tell you the truth. If you have got a pure heart and a childlike mind to pretend so strongly it is, that's a childlike mind, you can literally, and I've seen this in vision happening, envision a tree, say an apple tree, or pine tree, or willow, whatever. You can envision it in your head so strongly that you can envision it there on that burned hillside, that everything is dead. And when you open your eyes, there it is, and you can go up and pick an apple.
You know what? You're exactly right.
We must get out of self. Yes, self is nice, but self is temporary.
Yeah.
There are ways, you know, we are being led by science and so-called industry and stuff like that to rely on them. We're gods. Look what we gave you, the internet, the telephone, whatnot, glasses, all that jazz. Listen, I have walked in rain, storm, so cold I could see my breath, 10 1/2 hours, working right out in the open at about 72 degrees. When I walked into a huge, 30 or a little bit less mud puddle that was over my ankle, the water parted at my feet, my cloth tennis shoes didn't get wet. I had not a drop fall on my head, and it scared the living hell out of the whites that saw it.
That's similar to what happened at Fatima in Portugal.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth, we don't need to cut a tree to build a house. Now, I'm living in a turtle house. My wife needs it. I don't. We can envision our dwelling, and we're right outside and be in our dwelling, and people could walk right by us and not even know there's a dwelling there.
Yeah.
And this is what we are capable. The Creator says, ye are as gods, with a little g. We cannot be God, but we can be godly.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be Lucifer, but we can be satanic, Satan, and be satanic. We cannot be the Christ, the pale one, but we can be Christ-like.
Now, when Jesus was here, he said, these things you've seen me do, and even greater things, you can do.
Oh, yes, and I've learned to do many of these things, and I teach how to do many of these things. And people come to me expecting to watch me lift up and float off. I don't do it at their command. I do it only at the Creator's. And they're disappointed. And I tell them, listen, here's how to do it now. If you're really sincere, you will do it. And I do have people doing it. This is, you know, we're looking for industry to save us. We're looking for government to save us. Our government...
No, I'm not.
No, thank God. Yes. Our government is the Creator and His government. He's got angels, soldiers, and secretaries, and everything else. But if you're truly a Christian, truly a Christ follower, then you're an emissary to Earth and an ambassador to the country you're in. And your government is the kingdom of heaven with Dad in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And we here, I follow Christ. And I haven't seen anybody talk about flying, but I sure have seen him talk me down as a devil.
Mm-hmm.
I've walked for 5 1/2 hours in total invisibility on a hidden base that I could have gotten shot at. And I walked, oh gosh, 20 feet or less from 2 guards with high-fire rifles right in front of them. And they would have killed me. That's their orders. And yet I was invisible. They couldn't hear me, smell me, sense me, taste me. You know, if I'd accidentally hit the shoulder, they'd thought that maybe they had a fit, you know, a little jerk in their shoulder. And these things are possible, and yet industry's saying, look, we're inventing how to be invisible. We're inventing how to time travel. And you need this machine and that machine. Bull crap. You need only your creation or your connection with the Creator. Everything that Christ did, He said He can do. And He said He is willing to help you learn to do it. But these people are sitting around in their dogma saying, yeah, but He was the Son of God. And yet claim to be adopted, making them sons and daughters of God, but not taking it as truth. They are liars.
They're lying to themselves.
Well, they're lying to the world.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been interesting, and I sure hope that we are able to get you back on our show again, Red Elk.
You're telling me goodbye.
Well, no, unless you want, did you still want, I didn't know, do you want to still talk more?
No, but I would like to say this.
Okay, well, I'll just kind of like, yeah, okay.
There's too many Cree that happens to be hearing this, and it's going to be real rare. Hear me, test me, know my heart, and if you have knowledge of a sacred place, that you think should be presented. I will be up there at this big meeting in, next to Saskatchewan. I don't know. They're anyway, good big one. And if you talk to your clan's people and bring it forward, then if you're interested in having me go to open this place or that place, I'm not in there for anything other than to help the people of the world. And the Cree people are, I believe, fully. I don't know. I mean, I don't know fully, but I have a very strong belief that the Cree people are going to be the leaders that start even ours down in the States to finally break down and say, yeah, maybe we are hoarding.
Well, good for the Cree.
Well, that's
it. Yeah. Okay, since you want to talk, then I'm going to ask you a couple questions that I want to know about, okay? And you might have the answers for me. Now, I've already asked Blue Otter on this, and as a matter of fact, somebody actually sent me some information on it from California, so maybe you have something to contribute to it. Have you ever heard of the Blue People?
Oh, sure. I know one.
Oh, good for you. Boy, oh, boy. Am I ever lucky. Tell me.
The Blue People are not from our planet, but they kind of, I don't know, DNA'd in or slipped in or whatnot.
See, I have documented evidence that a race of Blue People actually did exist. As a matter of fact, there is a clan of them that lives down in Kentucky, I believe.
Well, I tell you this. The Blue People that I have seen in spirit, as well as the one that I know personally, are very big people. They're not little people. They're big. The ones I know.
Uh-huh.
And they're guards. They're guards to their mate. They're guards to the person that they are to be guards of. The mates have special knowledge. And boy, I tell you, these are guards. They don't only love their mate. These are males that I mean.
Uh-huh.
But holy mackerel, you don't want to mess with them.
The Cherokee, did they come into the Ohio Valley?
It was a group of people, Grandfather Red Elk, that when we came to the Ohio River Valley, probably upwards of about 1,500 years ago, we met a people. Well, we noticed that there were gardens and nobody was tending them. And so we watched the gardens, and at night we noticed people were coming out. They were very pale, blue skin, and kind of had different looking eyes. And we finally figured out that they were living underground and coming out and attending the gardens at nighttime because they couldn't come out in the daytime.
That sounds reasonable.
And then the Cherokee said that they had wiped them out.
Yeah.
All right, but Blue Otter was able to find out that there was some people that were going down into the caves down, was it in the Arkansas?
Well, there was two. There was a couple of cavers that went into one of the deepest caves in the country. It was in somewhere around Mountain Home, Arkansas, north central Arkansas, which is karst cave country. And they said that they got down to about the mile deep level, and a hairy being of some kind started throwing rocks at them and discouraging them from going ahead. And they made a lot of noise, and they chased their attacker off. But they went forward, and they you mentioned earlier these our grandfather Red Elk did mention tubes, underground tubes.
Yes.
They found one of these clear tubes in a wall, and they were able to look into the tube and see that it may have been used for transportation. They could look clear through the tube, but on the other side they saw buildings.
Oh, yes. You want to see some of these unfound cities. One is under New Mexico, Mexico City. And it's all lined with gold. The buildings are absolutely beautiful. Empty for the runners, for those that will go and hike. The one that I'm in charge of to open up the opening to bring people into to save their rear is all made out of maybe a sandstone, but it looks more like old white marble. All white marble. But these cities are built out of from the things that are local to the area. One is black, totally black, like obsidian. But it doesn't mean it's a black, bad city. It's just that that's what they had to build it with. A lot of these places are not found by the white man yet.
Now, also you had, I remember listening to you on Artville one time, and I've always tried to follow up on it. You talked about this hole to hell.
Oh,
Mel's
Hole.
Mel's Hole. Mel's Hole. Yes, Mel's Hole.
It's just a few miles from me.
What did you find out? Because I hadn't...
Originally, it was a blow tube from Mount Rainier. Originally. That hole is 27 to 27 and one-half miles deep. It is connected to Mount Rainier through a tube, all right?
Uh-huh.
But it has also been connected by the Dracunian race, which is a real wild bunch underground. And they are using it. Our government took it from them. I have literally watched one huge, I would safely say the size of a football field, which I think I'd be much safer saying three, orb, stand there and transfer things from the hole in and from it down, including human captives. And the Draculian race has control of it now, and our government, or as much of our black ops government, is very deeply involved and are partially Draculian themselves.
Oh, yes, I believe
and
that.
And there's no place to mess with.
Now, have you, is it open to the public, have they got that fenced off where, they don't have, like, signs up saying no trespassing or anything?
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do now?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The actual hole is covered by a small outbuilding that opens up like a book opens when it's standing on its end. And the hole cannot be seen because of the building. But it opens up like a book. And then the hole is exposed to those transfers.
And who put the building up?
Our Black Ops group.
Because when you first found it, it was just the hole.
When I first saw it, the shooter was open to anyone. You know, this is 61, I think, 60, 61.
And then later on, Black Op or someone came in and put a building on top of it. And you know, Blue Otter, that happens so much. Anytime there's a gosh darn entrance to, a tunnel system, you could bet that there's some sort of a building put on top of it.
Oh, but down in Brazil, there was there were tunnels so deep that there was a military unit got lost in them. They died of my disease down there not too long ago. Well, you're talking about hundreds of miles deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's five layers of Earth. We're on number six. Six layers. We're on the surface of six. The middle, the dead center, is all molten like lava and stuff. There might be a tube through it, but I don't know. But nevertheless, nobody lives in that molten lava.
Well, I'm a
crust of it is where Lucifer has his head.
Well, I'm a firm believer in Shambhala, the inner cities of Shambhala.
Shambhala out of it's not out of Tibet. It's out of it actually exists close to Tibet.
Well, there's many entrances
in Russia.
Tibet, yes, but there's many entrances. There's an entrance in Iraq. There's an entrance in Tibet, but there's also an entrance that supposedly takes you there, right in Mammoth Caves in Kentucky.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
See, that's the area of the Cherokee we call Wasioto, or that's our central fire.
Yeah. Well, and that could be very well the reason why.
Our inner Earth is made up of caves, and the ones directly below us that are not man-made. Are huge, giant caves, sometimes 27 miles long or so, 2-3 miles high, and with holes, and the air from our surface goes through those holes, creates a fog like clouds, and so the dwellers of those caves, and there's dwellers, and not in all, but in a number, they know it's the sky. And they think they're living in a huge valley because when they go all around it, they hit walls. You know, it's the cave wall.
Uh-huh.
And there's also tunnels leading from places until you get down, right down to Lucifer.
Well, I think that Jules Verne actually had secret knowledge based on, because Journey up to the Center of the Earth. Because he was in the same secret society as Nostradamus, and I can't think of all the ones that were involved in it, but
Nostradamus was in a society.
Yes, he was. But anyhow, I still think that Jules Verne had a lot of information on what he's seen down there.
There are still mastodons. There are still dinosaurs.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aqua Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Well, I think that's where, like your Bigfoot, I think that's where the Bigfoot is underground, and then it's just like what Blue Otter said, they come out at night, you know, to gather the various herbs or whatever that they wouldn't necessarily be able to get down below.
I've had my little run-ins with Bigfoots, and there are two types. There's one from another dimension that looks like us.
Ours,
which I call Bigfoot, but they're not our Bigfoot. And they're one of the unholy four that work with the Dorkelians and the Greys and the Bigatis and the Gargoyles.
Well, if you remember the time traveler or the time machine? Remember, no, but the old one, remember how that was? He went into the future and there was two races of beings, the ones that were living on top of the earth, and then the other ones that were had the higher technology that was living underground, and if you remember right, those people had blue skin.
Well, yes, I've heard of the children of blue skin that came out.
Yeah.
The two, evidently brother and sister. But as they stayed here on the surface, they lost their tone.
Well,
even this Dave Blue that I know, he's as gentle as can be.
Yeah.
Until you start stepping on toes.
Yeah.
And it's all interesting. There's many, many, many things that are unknown to the white people. There's many books that open up doors to possibilities. People get to thinking about this and that, and yet there's dead truth in those books. You know, what do they call these trolls, or what are the bad ones?
There's the Taros and there's the Daryls. I think that's...
No. Well, that's true, the Daryl, but they are, you know, fairy tales. There's trolls and what? We got pixies and gnomes.
Leprechauns.
And leprechauns, but no, the bad ones.
Elves?
No, the bad ones.
Well, I thought they were the leprechauns.
No.
The trolls. There's
leprechauns a kick.
And then there's
the trolls.
Well,
the trolls, and there's another one. I think it's starts with G. But do you know what those are?
Gremlins. You're thinking of
gremlins. Yes. Those are the ones with the D name that you just called out.
The Daryls.
Those are the same thing.
Yeah.
In reality, those are the Atlanteans that had to be left behind. Because the ships didn't have enough for everybody.
Yeah.
They went underground to evade the war and bread. And now they are insane midgets.
Yeah. Well, there was...
Very dangerous.
Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of people that were, you know, after that ancient nuclear war that they had, or atomic war that they had, that were on the surface mutated. And...
Well, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and...
Not everybody can find a hole in the ring.
Yeah.
But the fact is, fairies really exist. That's a fact.
Well, sure, and you know what? Another thing is that people aren't aware of is the computer gremlins. Yeah. You ever heard of that?
I don't know that, but I've got something in my house that makes everything disappear.
Yeah, I do. I got those little buggers too.
I'm serious.
Yeah. But I don't know too much about them. All I know is that there's supposed to be some sort of an entity that actually travels back and forth through the computers, which makes sense because of the electrical waves, electronic waves.
Right.
Yeah, it would be very easy if a person knew how to do it. I imagine it would be quite easy to do.
Now, this summer, I was hoping to get down to New Mexico. And I was to go and speak in Toronto, but today it was canceled. I was going to use the money to go to New Mexico. There is a very small area there that is so sacred it just blew my mind. Now, I know gnomes, I know fairies, I know the Interland Queen, personally. At least the one in North America, I assume of all, but I don't know. But nevertheless, I got good friends in the Interland. And, I have walked on gnome homes right on the roof, knowing full well that there's a gnome right down there.
Their little
huts. I have been through some of their tiny little villages, but never have I even had an inkling of an idea of what I ran into in New Mexico. There is a whole giant hillside that... It's like I lived in Kansas and all of a sudden somebody flies me into New York City. It is a city of little people.
Really?
All sorts. And I'm supposed to go back there this summer.
Well,
I haven't got the money.
I used to live down there next to the Superstition Mountains, and I used to have a newspaper business. And I used to write stories, you know, from the people, you know, the Indians coming in, or, you know, the prospectors that have been up in the mountains. And The Indians used to have a legend, and I know that it's true. I just know it is. And it, and they say that the little people live within the mountain, and they went in, or they went into the mountain and underground when the giants came upon the earth.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, they do war with these D people that you're talking about.
The Darrow.
They have mortal enemies.
Yeah.
And there's constant warfare down there. By the way, in the superstitions, there is an abandoned, I guess you could say, mining town, a little mining town way up in the mountains. And you have these D people. What is it? What is the name?
Darrows.
Yeah.
They're Derros.
Yeah. And these Darrows are the ones that, boy, you go up to sightsee, it's wide open. You have to drive a very dangerous road, I understand. And you can see a Darrow every once in a while standing in this cave. And people that have been caught out in the open have, some supposedly have been vaporized. And some are taken into a captivity. They've got that up in the Cree Nations too, so I suppose it's all over here.
Yes. Well, I've known prospectors that have come out, or well, prospectors and mountain men, basically up there, treasure hunters, looking for the pearls of gold or whatever. And, like, there's this one guy, he wrote, I can't remember, he's deceased now, but he was a friend of mine, but his name was Bob Ward. And Bob told me that there was a time that he was crossing, like, this little plain, that in the superstition. And he walked into a mist. And he says, when he walked into that mist, he says, it was just like he went into another time.
Yes.
And then he continued to walk, and then he went back out through that mist, and he was back to where, things were normal again. But he says it was the strangest thing.
Yeah. There by China Lake in California, I believe. I think it's California. The back goes in. You, literally, that mist is on both sides of a little dinky road. And, boy, I tell you, it's guarded by, skinwalkers, shapeshifters that go into shape of an actual werewolf, a clothed werewolf.
Uh-huh.
And these things can actually keep up to your car 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, now, a lot of people don't believe in the skinwalkers, but, yourself, they're true.
That's all right. Get upset when I even mention the word.
Well, Well, now, I heard that a lot of the problem with that is some people, what they do is they're able to shape shift into an animal. Okay, but then when they try to come back, into human form, they get caught somehow.
Oh, that's possible.
And a lot of times, that's where you'll find I don't know if it would really be a skinwalker or not, but sometimes these people, they come across like what they think is werewolves and things like that. And somebody told me that what that was is that they had shifted into like the wolf, but when they tried to come back, something didn't work right. So they kind of got caught in between.
I would say that is not totally correct.
Yeah.
They run into them because those things are out looking to see what they're up to, maybe.
Uh-huh.
They're spies and stuff.
And who do you think they are, these werewolves?
Well, they're basically North American Indians.
So they're like a skinwalker?
Yeah. They're in societies of evil. And our government has hired a bunch of these people. Our black government.
Uh-huh.
And so they get paid well to guard. And
well, I do know that the Indians, because I was up at Dulce, New Mexico one time. See, every year we do a UFO trip, my husband and I. And one year we went up to Dulce. And I was talking to somebody outside of Dulce, I think over by Farmington, actually, it was. And he was telling us about how the Indians are paid by the government in that Dulce area to spy on any outsiders coming in. And if they get too close to anything, then the Indians would let somebody know. And the next thing you know, you got somebody there, some official there saying to get off the off the property.
Now, this is quite rampant.
Yeah.
And very rampant down in the Four Corners. Extremely so.
I went to school with the gal that was just recently elected as tribal chairman for the group at Dulce. She was an Upward People with me.
Uh-huh. And what did she say?
I haven't spoken with her.
Oh, okay.
I haven't spoken with her. I've got her email address, but, you know...
But I hear that a lot of children in that area, you know, are kidnapped, you know, and taken down into that Dulce underground facility.
I see. You know, I can go into the spiritual, where they can't see me. I'm not doing an OBD. I have no court to trace and to find. I'm totally invisible, even to those who do OBD. And I can go places that you wouldn't believe, and I have seen things that would make you shudder. And I just am thankful that there is no death, that life goes on after this death.
Yeah.
And, because I see what they do to our people, and it's horrible.
No, it's not just to...
This one down in Mills Hole, they have a special thing. They kidnap people, usually pretty good, red-headed, younger women,
uh-huh.
not teens, but, you know, early 20s. And they put them in a body wrap that when they're alive, Jimmy. And when they peel it off, it peels the skin off, leaving just their muscles exposed. Alive and screaming because they don't fear. It's like
it's a negative. It's a very high energy. That's why, like with the Inquisition, you know, there was so much torture involved, just because the torture is you know, a very extremely high energy, negative energy that the fourth dimension creatures can travel in and out of our third dimension from, or using it as a tool.
There's a way that each one of us can do the same thing.
Yeah.
As I've been up to the Grand Council, we call it
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Yes. And that's what these remote viewers are doing.
That's a crock of crap. I know four of them that are still here.
Well, you know yourself. If something's working, the government's not going to give up on it.
Well, he's the mole. M-O-L-E. He was told to come out and expose himself so that people would believe him when he started telling them the future events.
Yeah.
And then when they said, now make him tell him this, and he would tell them that, then in a day or two, something, wow, he's right.
You know, yeah, it's gain the public's trust, and then start feeding them false information.
Well, now he's saying, hey, World War III is around the corner, we said the other night.
Yeah.
Who's this?
The people are just not aware of what's going on. And even a lot of our Native American Indians are not aware of what's going on.
No.
And it's time that... you know, this sounds like crazy talk to the world.
Well, sure. Well, it does, but isn't that how everything starts out? Is first of all, they look at you like you're crazy, and then they become angry, and then after that is acceptance.
Oh,
those are the three stages.
Three phases, truth passes through.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. If that three phases, we haven't got long to go before, you better accept in a hell of a hurry.
Yeah. Well, as you see, that's what Blue Otter and I are doing, you know, with the help of you and all the other guests that Blue Otter has. Blue Otter, as a matter of fact, let me tell you, Red Elk, Blue Otter is really doing one heck of a job for not only the Native America people, but the other people of the world. I hope that everyone out there appreciates what this man is doing for all of us.
All I can say is I have good teachers.
I can get a general idea of what are these doing.
I have good teachers. I have good teachers like Red Elk and John Red Hat and Rolling Thunder and you know, every one of these teachers are people that are reviled by mainstream Native America.
Or hated.
Both.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when you're hated, you've got to hate like you wouldn't believe.
Well, what do they say? To be successful, you need friends. But to be very successful, you need enemies.
Yeah.
And I got a few of them.
Well, then you know you're very successful with what you're doing. Hey, you guys don't know nothing until you start reading some of the email I get in here.
I've been in this 5 years, and death threats and everything else.
I just look at it that when I get people that upset, then I must be touching on to something very important.
Or do you think that's good? You wait and tell the CIA or the lower black ops start following you.
Hey, who says I have it?
Good. Welcome to the club.
No.
You know, they try to fear you into stopping, and they know the only way they can stop you is to kill you.
Yeah.
If they can't fear you.
Well.
And if they can't kill you, or they want to stop you and control you.
Well, you know.
Threaten your family.
Well, you know, though, Red Elk, I have told this to people time and time again, and I really believe this. If you have information out there, you are safer by getting a hold of somebody like me or Art Bell or Jeff Rentz or Jerry Pippen or whoever. Get that information out there. Let people know who you are. Because as soon as you do that, then you are no longer in the shadows where you are touchable by these people. These people like to work in the shadows, in the secrecies. So if you have information and you don't tell people, that you are very unsafe. So get out, get that information out there.
I tell people basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter, a full-blood Indian. We've adopted the Colville Negro. And she's 34, I think, too. That might be 32 or 3, I don't know. But anyway, she came in one day, about 28 years old, and was crying, very distraught. And I said, I looked at her, and she come right to me, and she said, Dad, I don't know what you're doing, but would you please stop? She got a 5.5-hour trip, stopped by cops, every block or 3 blocks, car searched and everything else. It's a 15-minute trip from my house to where she was at and down.
Yeah.
And they were just trying to say, watch yourself, Red.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love my daughter. I love my grandchildren. I love them. And yet, for the sake of the world's people, I've got to put them in jeopardy.
Well, I've been doing my work, I guess, maybe 60, almost, I hate to think this, but I guess I've been actually putting out information to the public for almost 20 years. And so, you know, I have gone through, the fires many times. And at one point in time, I did quit, because it just got too much because, you know, I had, small children at that time. And it just got to the point where, you know, my life was hell. And I just said, no more. And so I quit for years. And then finally I decided, no, I have to go back and continue my work.
I put a face before the theater about my website, not my phone, but my website. I don't even know how to put on or take off and write from my address book. And I've been on computers for 5 years. I'm that dumb. So I have people that help me with my website, and they volunteer.
Yeah.
And in time, their business is more important than mine, which I don't blame them. So I can't get things done. And like announcing this show, that I'm going to be on this show.
Uh-huh.
Blue Otter wrote to two of these people that helped me.
Uh-huh.
That information's still not on.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten to the point where I'm sick and tired of it. I send them information to put on a bunch of visions that I've had. One day, 69 days past, I had a great vision, and I told everyone what it was all about. It's all transcribed.
Well, I'm sure...
It's one guy's hand.
No, I'm sure that Blue Otter or I could help you with that. I mean, that's not that difficult.
I appreciate it, but I'm tired of volunteering.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
But, I mean, you know, there's people out there, you know, that'll help you.
Well, this is on a Missoula site. You need to have Missoula hardware. And here in the West Coast, Missoula is almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Back East, it's pretty famous. And it's $700 to $1,200 just to get the hardware. And me with less than $4 in the bank.
Yeah.
And then I need to learn how to do my own website.
Yeah.
I don't know. Computer. I don't know what a bike is. I have no idea. Don't even try to.
Well, I self-educated, and I think Blue Otter did too. I don't know.
What I need is somebody that would, on their own financials somehow, help me redesign my own website and write all the computer crap.
Well, trust me, Red Elf, I think that's the wish of all of us. all of us webmasters.
It looks like my website is going down the road. I asked the creator today. I gave him 1 week and said that things don't change in a hurry. And, you know, by next Monday, that I'm going to call it off.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of pyramids. There's all kinds of strange things there. And what gets me is there's even stranger pictures to put on that they have held and never got on.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Well, you know, that's part of it, you know, is, endurance. You know, I think that we all need to just overcome the obstacles.
Well, I don't have anybody to do it. I've had two people fly out who are going to teach me how to do my website in a weekend.
Yeah.
They walked away shaking their heads. It can't be done.
Yeah.
I'm just that dumb. I'm good at
it. Well, until then, you can find Red Elk at www.redelk.com. prophecykeeper.org. And this is the Prophecy Keeper, and that is hosted by Blue Otter. And you can find our show at www.burlingtonnews.net/prophecykeepersshow. And on that site, there is a list of all the upcoming guests that Blue Otter will have, along with a link to Blue Otter's site.
Right. If you didn't get that, Earl, you can just do a Google search for Native Prophecy. It'll take you right to my site, and there's a link right at the top of my site over to Mary's site.
Okay. Yeah, and it was great talking with you, Red Elk. I've always looked forward to all these years to speaking with you. And it's always a pleasure, Blue Otter, to speak with you.
You bet. Let me give up my phone number one more time.
Oh, sure.
For the U.S. and most of Canada, to order the Prophecy Keeper CD-ROM. So we're about 700 megabytes, not just prophecy, all kinds of preparedness information, everything you could possibly read. Anyway, the number is 877-412-2012. And if you're calling in from out of the country, it's 206-984-2286, and the instructions are on the voicemail on what you need to leave as far as your credit card numbers.
Okay, and you also have some free downloads.
Absolutely, yeah. ProphecyKeepers.com. We've got two wonderful e-books that you can, they're huge, and absolutely free.
Okay,
allow me to end this.
Sure.
Believe me or not, the one thing that will beat all the problems is have no fear, trust the Creator, learn love. I have faced some of the most astonishing things and beat it just because I didn't fear, and I sent God love, and the enemy cannot take that. There is hope, but you can't find it in yourself alone.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Thank you.